This is Margaret Cho, and you're listening to The Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual community.
You put the B in LGBT. You put the B in LGBT.
Welcome to the Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual plus community. This is Elizabeth Meacham. I'm here with Lynette McFadden. Hi, Lynette.
Hi.
And we are interviewing Ashley Gallagher, a writer whose work Manicita and the Songkeeper are featured in the upcoming May 1st release of Shout Out by Toronto Comics.
Welcome, Ashley.
Hi. Welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. I just want to give a quick shout out to Nicole Robinson for steering her our way, steering you our way.
Yeah, I met Nicole back about 2 or 3 years ago at San Diego Comic-Con, and she's done nothing but enrich my life. So, you know, kudos to her. Can't wait to see all of your guys' new stuff. So maybe you could share with us a little bit about yourself and what your work in Shout Out is all about. I just wanted to mention that on their comics page it says, Shout Out is a testament to the diversity and strength of queer comics community. So let's hear what you have to say.
All right, yeah. So I'm Ashley. I am a bisexual writer, which is why I'm on this podcast. I grew up in Miami. I am a Latina writer. I'm also white, which I think is important to note because I don't identify as a person of color. But I wanted to contribute to this anthology, talking a little bit about queer history and like including some of that Latinx inspiration in the comic. I've been writing comics freelance for a few years. I also help run a micro press called Palm Press. Our blog is Pomegranate Magazine, and I do that with three of my friends from Texas, where I lived for about 8 years. A couple years ago, I moved to the Pacific Northwest, and I'm in Portland. So I've come a very long way.
That's right. I'm actually from the Northwest, and I am in Kansas. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. I actually live in Portland, too.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah.
I've only been here for, like, 2 years. So I haven't met a whole lot of people yet. I mean, I met plenty of awesome people, but, you know. I still feel like I'm new here, basically.
Yeah. It's a nice area. I think you'll probably get in there pretty quickly once you start getting out. It's Portland's beautiful.
It is.
Well, how long have you been writing comics?
That's a really good question. I wonder if I can even pin it down to a specific year. It's probably less than 5 years. I want to say my first comic probably came out sometime in maybe 2014. I started collaborating with my best friend who is a comic artist, which is a really great way to start, because you already have a rapport, and I knew his style really well just from being friends. And most of my stuff has come out through Palm, my micro press. So this is actually, I think the first anthology that I've been in, not within sort of like my own little cohort of fellow creators.
So do you only do comics or do you do any other types of writing?
I have been primarily focused on comics the past few years, but I have done other writing, mostly like personal nonfiction. So my first published piece was on the Hairpin way back a few years ago, if you remember that website, and I wrote for The Toast as well, and I've done a ton of, like, humor writing for Palm, so I dabble quite a bit. I have been toying with the idea of branching out into prose short stories. So yeah, I do a lot.
Yeah, so you do prose, or you want to do prose?
I've been thinking about it.
Yeah. I used to do some poetry, and that used to be all I did. And this was a lot, many years ago. But I started. It just kind of moved over to prose somehow, and I'm not quite sure how that happened. But it's just kind of.
Yeah.
Now I can't go back. It's very strange how that works.
That's really interesting, actually. I wrote a lot of poetry in college, and actually my concentration in undergrad was in poetry. And I think that actually has helped me in writing comics, because being compact and, like, metaphorical is really important in comics.
Yeah.
Putting forth a lot of great ideas in a very short, compact space, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can be a little more flowery too, whereas, you know, you get into prose and people start telling you, no, you shouldn't use so much of this or that. And poetry, you can really, you know,
I used to write poems when I was a teenager, but mine were always very angry and negative, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was kind of my college poems, yeah. There was that phase with the anger. Worked through it. Grew up, probably. How do you feel your bisexuality is expressed in your writing? I mean, is it an intentional thing, or do you just think it kind of comes out of you?
That's an interesting question. I mean, one of the main things is that I don't write about straight people. There are plenty of people doing that, and I feel like the market's a little saturated with that, to put it in sort of mercenary terms, I guess, but more to the point, that's just not the world that I live in. And in terms of how it's expressed, you know, even though not, you know, all of my characters may be bisexual, I think that my worldview as a bisexual person and a queer person is expressed in the way that my characters are always trying to expand the boundaries of what's possible. And they think that LGBTQ queer people are really concerned with that and live our lives in that way.
I think we're all really happy with that and content living outside that binary thinking. I think it's kind of a revelation that happens, and it does come out to things, so it's cool. And, you know, I appreciate that bisexuality doesn't become the focus, that it's just kind of written in organically, like this is what it is, and it's not the focus of everything.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, definitely in the comic, and I'm kind of jumping ahead, but maybe I'll come back to this too, I don't know, but... it's like Lynette said, it felt very organic, like, you know, nothing unusual here. And I appreciated that, definitely. It's just kind of like, I mean, and I know it's the shout out is for the queer community, but I didn't feel like I was reading a queer comic only for, you know, it felt very universal, and as far as...
It wasn't strained.
It wasn't forced. It wasn't, you know, like, it was just very beautiful. It's kind of like looking at a nice painting.
Thank you. I'm glad you feel that way. And I think that something that I wrote in an essay a while back, which was specifically about being bisexual and, like, trying to sort of, like, trace my lineage through youth comics, something that I wrote at that time was that I came into my identity as bisexual as an adult, as a child, I don't ever remember, like, learning about gay people or anything like that. It just seemed always self-evident to me some way. And I think that that's kind of what I'm trying to capture, is the sense that, like, yes, we are here, but also we've always been here. It's not something that you have to, like, learn about as though it's, like, a special topic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Interesting.
How did you become involved with Shout Out Comics?
So last year, my micropress, Palm, tabled at TCAF for the first time. That's the Toronto Comic Arts Festival. And TCAF is really special. It's an international show that's like really beloved by people in the indie comic scene. And it had always been a dream to go there, even as, you know, an attendee, let alone as someone selling comics there. But we did do that. We got a table there and debuted our first big anthology. It's called Group Chat. And that is where I met Andrew. And he was talking about Shout Out because it was sort of like already in the works. And I was familiar with Toronto Comics' previous work, Wayward Sisters, for example. I found them because they actually put out a lot of great materials about how to run a Kickstarter and how to market your book. So I had actually relied on a lot of those resources during the marketing campaign for Group Chat. And yeah, we got to talking. He told me about Shout Out to keep an eye out for it. I followed their socials, and when the call went out for submissions, I went ahead and put in my pitch.
Awesome.
I'm glad you did. Nice results. Yeah. When we talk about Manecita and the Songkeeper, it feels very much like Manecita is getting set to embark on an adventure of resistance using song. What made you decide on writing about the topic of resistance, and specifically, where did the idea of resistance through song come from?
Yeah, those are big questions. There are a lot big ideas behind the answers to that. In terms of writing about resistance, I actually really like to think of it as rebellion. And as I sort of touched on in the beginning, I am Latinx, and the story of Latin America and the Caribbean, which is where my family is from, is one of colonization. Part of, you know, the erasure that we face of gay, bisexual, trans people comes from that colonization, comes from, you know, an imposition of a Western sort of worldview on indigenous ways of being that didn't fit into that binary. And so even though my story is set sort of like in a fantasy setting, not necessarily in the real world, I wanted to talk about what it means for, you know, a culture to be sort of dominated by another culture and sort of suppressed, and how you can rise up and rise up against that. And part of why I chose fantasy is because I think in these days we need more ways of imagining how we can rebel against the systems that, you know, control and oppress us. And I think fantasy is a really interesting vehicle to do that in. In terms of the idea of using song, really what I wanted to touch on was history and how our histories are hidden, they're erased, they're buried. But those histories are a source of strength. I mean, they are a source, they strengthen my sense of identity and community. Being bisexual or gay or trans can feel really isolating at first until you learn about all the people who came before you. And song, art in general, but song is a really powerful way to tell history. Not only because, you know, historically song could be used to tell stories and tell histories in a subversive way, where people who, you know, the people you didn't want knowing what was really going on with the song may not pick up on it.
Yes. Yeah.
But also because song brings us together, it makes us move, it makes us feel. And so I wanted the sense of this history living on in a way that is both subversive and able to transmit through the people that are carrying it, but also something that can really be physically felt and expressed.
See, I knew that you had something behind that. Historically, you're right, though. It is how they transmitted their history, because it's easier to remember things if you set it to song, for one.
Right.
But again, it can be hidden within the music, mm-hmm. and be subversive. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was really cool. And, you know, you open up the story, and it's this beautiful setting. It's a beautiful comic visually, too.
Yeah, and also shout out to Helen Robinson, my artist, who, like, really, you know, comics obviously isn't just writing, it's art.
She did an
incredible job. She really took a lot of what I was talking about and completely ran
with
it.
Oh, it was beautiful. It was just beautiful. But the, you open it up, and she's just sitting there singing, and it's just annoying to those guys that are coming and starting to throw rocks at her. But it feels like a joyful comic when you open it up, and just like, but there's really something subversive going on there that you, you get to towards the end of the story, and you're just, wow, there's so much embedded in that those few pages.
Thank you so much.
Cool, so I had to ask about all that.
That's a huge compliment, because, you know, as you said, there's only, you know, 6 pages. It's so little space to work with. I'm glad that some of that feeling came through.
Yeah. I wanted more.
The power of independent comic makers. They can just take these very small amount of space and put forth these profound things. It's just, I'm always amazed.
That's the magic of comics.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very impressed. Do you have any other projects you are involved in? Is there anything else we need to watch for forthcoming?
Yeah. So my micropress, Palm Press, is actually putting out an anthology really soon, a new one. It's called Eternal Witchcraft. Ooh. And it is all comics. It is both fictional and real spells. It combines some previous volumes of our witchcraft books, as well as containing new stories. So I have some old stories in there, and I have a brand new story as well. The artist on that book is David Tarafa, my best friend who I mentioned earlier, and our comic is called A Spell to Make Language. It gets into some really abstract territory, but it's a beautiful project. We're going to be starting the Kickstarter really soon, within the next couple months, so definitely keep an eye out for that.
Awesome.
Cool. Where can we find more about you specifically and your work?
So I have a website. The website is really easy to remember. It's ashley.pizza. I chose that because it would be easy to remember. You can also find
smart.
A lot. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I said that was smart.
Thanks. You can also find a lot of my work at Pomegranate Magazine, which is the blog of my micropress. And that is pome-mag.com. And you can see a lot of great stuff on there. If you want to find my stuff specifically, you can just search for my name and you'll find a lot of it.
All right. And then you're going to send us all these wonderful links so we can have them posted on the,
yes,
website to our page. Great.
Oh, wonderful. Is there anything you would like to add today?
Well, I just want to say that your listeners should definitely check out Shout Out. My contribution aside, which I think is small in comparison to some of the amazing work that's in there, there's so much beautiful work in there. It's really the kind of book that I would have given my right arm for as a teenager. It's really exciting work. It really shows, I think, the huge variety of voices and perspectives in the LGBTQ community. It shows that young people also have a right to own their own queer identities. So yeah, definitely please check out the book.
And do you know when it's the release date? It's not quite out yet, correct?
It's not out yet. The Kickstarter was just funded. Yeah, it just says May 2019. So okay. The book is coming out in May.
That's okay.
You can pre-order it, though. Even without the Kickstarter, if you go to tocomicswithanx.com, yep. And you look for shout-out, there's a pre-order link.
Yep, all right. It's right there. All right.
And you'll have this wonderful book in your hands in early May. That's great.
Thank you so much, Ashley. It was great.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, it was so great. Thank you very much.
You are not wrong, you are not broken, and you are not alone. You are just a human being, and you are bisexual. You have community. Bye.
Bye.
If you teach a bird to sing, she gonna learn to fly. If you let her sing, she gonna fly. If you let her sing, she gonna fly away. If you teach a bird to sing,
transcription services provided by Bynes Transcript and Typing Services. Just say it, and we'll type it. As leaders in the transcription industry, it's their vision to help business owners reach their project goals for their organization or company by transcribing or providing general office support. They're transcribing what I'm saying right now. Their staff is readily available to assist. Order now and get up to 20% off of your first assignment. Regularly, 99 cents a minute. Celebrating 11 years in business. And thank you, Fran Bynes, for your volunteer activism. Find them at www.binestranscriptions.com.
The views expressed on the Bycast do not necessarily represent those of Bynet USA or the Bycast crew.
Look at that.